Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome along to your latest Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. My name is Dan Wimbush. It is Thursday the 31st of August 2023. Thank you so much for joining us for today's show, which is of course brought to you by our sponsor ZCZ Films and our special podcast extra sponsor footcoaching.com. We'll have a little bit more on those both at the end of the show. Coming up on today's episode, we have got a deadline day special, a pre-deadline day special should I say, as James Earnshaw and Andy Preston join us to recount all of the latest rumours and speculations on potential incomings and outgoings at Reading Football Club before the 11 p.m. deadline tomorrow. So lots to get into. Without further ado, let's hear today's show.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
Right, it is deadline day eve. Plenty to get into. I am joined, as I've been regularly throughout this season, on the Pod Extra by Andy Preston. Andy, good evening to you, my friend.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, not so bad. It's, you know, the excitement of deadline day isn't quite what it used to be when, you know, we used to be able to spend money and things like that. But, you know, still, it's all still a mild bit of excitement generated. So hopefully we'll see some business done tomorrow. I used to always post a waiting elevator GIF and YouTube. I think there's like a 10-hour long YouTube video of elevator music they used to post on the Tilehurst End every year. So I might dig that back out. But joining myself and Andy this week for this deadline day eve special for the first time here on the Tilehurst End podcast section is James Earnshaw. James, good evening to you.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I am very good, sir. Very good, sir. Just for people that might be hearing your dulcet tones for the very first time, just explain your background and how you came to cover Reading professionally.
A Reading fan all my life, my sins. Tilehurst, born and bred. Well, Calcutt, but Tilehurst more or less. I went to uni in Derby to do football journalism. And I've been covering Reading now since February 2022, since the departure of Benji. And it's been pretty much downhill from there.
Yeah, you've not had the best of starts. It's safe to say. But look, you know, it's character building. That's what they say, isn't it? Going through adversity. But look, let's just dive straight in because people are going to be wanting to hear, you know, I talked about generating some excitement on deadline day eve for deadline day. Let's start, though, on the exit front because we're recording this around about 6:30 on Thursday evening. Within the past couple of hours, we have had the confirmation from the club. Andy Carroll has departed, Andy. Your namesake gone from the football club, but this wasn't really a surprise, was it?
No, it's been one we've been expecting for a couple of weeks, I think, ever since the Port Vale game. You know, he's not been in a match day squad. So, you know, it's one that makes sense for both parties, for Reading to get him out, free up some wages, and, you know, hopefully they can bring another forward in. I don't think he ever was going to fit Ruben Sellers' style. You know, he prefers a much more dynamic forward who can press. I don't think there was an unwillingness from Carroll to do that. I just don't think he's able to do that now at his age. And, you know, the partnership he had early on in the season with Kelvin, I don't think it worked at all. So, you know, it's a show and faith in Kelvin, and hopefully they're able to bring another forward in the next day.
James, any regrets on your end about how it's ended with Andy?
No, not particularly. I mean, he's always a divisive figure, isn't he, with Reading fans. And I think it's just come to a natural end. Maybe it sort of went a bit toxic towards the end with the whole Luton red card and his performances this season. But no, I genuinely do think, especially last season, I thought he was one of the better players that we had. And he did seem to genuinely take an interest in the area and the fans. And, you know, it was always fun to talk to him and interesting to watch him play. And, you know, no hard feelings. You know, players move on. Good ones and bad ones, and, you know, good luck to him in France.
Yeah, I was saying to my dad at the game the other day, this felt very much on a very lesser scale along the Erik ten Hag, Cristiano Ronaldo situation we saw at Man United last season, where, you know, there was a useful player there. I don't think he was totally useless by any stretch of the imagination. He did score about a rate of 1 in 4, although be it some from the penalty spot, but we saw straight away that it just wasn't going to work. So unlike the Ronaldo thing that just dragged on and seems to get more and more toxic, I think it's good that it's just been nipped in the bud straight away and all parties can move on. We're still largely fond memories. So Andy Carroll out the door, his contract, he's triggered that release clause, so he is gone. Andy, who else might we see move on within the next 24 hours before that window slams shut?
Well, I think the obvious ones would be the players that have been omitted from the matchday squad. So you're looking at Tom Holmes, Nesta Guinness-Walker. Is there another one that maybe isn't coming to mind? James will probably remind me if there is.
Dean Bouzanis.
Yes, Bouzanis, that was it. That was the other one. I think with him, it's more if they can find someone who's willing to sign him, whereas the other two, I'm sure, will have some interest around them. Yeah, it's whether Reading can get some money for either Holmes or Guinness-Walker. I don't know if we can expect them to leave. You know, it's probably one that will have to progress quite quickly now. But yeah, if they're looking to leave, you know, it'll be good to get them out the door and, you know, try and get a replacement in while they can.
James, do you get the sense with those players that have kind of been omitted that there will be a reintegration if they are still here? Or is this one of the situations that we saw under Jose Gomez where the likes of Gareth McCleary were just completely exiled and made to train with the, you know, with the under-21s? Or do you think there is a way back in for them under Ruben Selez?
I do think there's a way back. I mean, he hasn't been at the club that long. There can't have been that much sort of water to go under the bridge. You know, and the type of personalities that they are, I don't think Holmes would throw the toys out of the pram and disrupt his boyhood club. And Nesta just never strikes him as that kind of guy. We're going to need a left back because Carson isn't going to be capable of playing every single game this season. And I think Nesta is perfectly capable of playing. I'm not really sure what's gone on there, to be honest, in the first place. But for whatever reason, he supposedly seems to be one of the ones up for sale. But no, I think whichever ones don't go, I think you'd be cutting off your nose to spite your face by not playing them. They're all going to be among the, well, maybe not Bouzanis, but the other two, among the better players in the squad. Yeah, there's no point keeping them out just for the sake of it. So if they're not got any takers, get them in.
Andy, did you get the sense that, you know, there are various rumours that fly around social media and obviously pick up pace, things like Reading need to sell players to comply with, you know, the EFL judgment and getting that 125% in an account for Dai Young. And there's been talk that, you know, they need to raise those funds. Do you get the sense that Reading would take cut price bids for these players? Or is there that whole sentiment that actually, no, we will hold on for what we feel is market value for them and we won't just let them go on the cheap?
Possibly. I think there's maybe a bit of pressure to sell. But again, with these senior players, I think if there was a massive pressure to raise those funds, and maybe they would have been up for sale much sooner, because, you know, it's only in the last couple of weeks we've seen them omitted from the matchday squads with Holmes and Guinness-Walker and Bouzanis. So I don't think there's a massive pressure, only if they wanted to bring some more players in. I think it'd be maybe a policy of one in, one out at the moment. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see them going for really nominal fees. You know, in Tom Holmes' case, he's probably the player in the squad that has the highest market value. So I don't think he'll be going on the cheap tomorrow.
James, we'd be remiss to not talk about the whole financial situation off the pitch. Mm. So you tweeted earlier today that one bit of good news, that the tax bill and the wages have been paid for this month. Is that correct?
Yeah. The wages took a bit longer to come today than usual, but the club always seem to... I mean, they're the only company I ever know that don't pay them bang on in the morning when you wake up. But they always have, for as long as I've been in the role, they've always paid them later on in the afternoon. And that confirmation came on earlier. The tax bill was actually paid on the day it was due, which is makes a nice change. So no sort of daft embargoes for half a day before coming back out of one again. So it just leaves the 125%, which, as far as I'm aware, hasn't been touched as of yet. Which is, for me, is where the only sort of maybe part of truth could come from the whole rumour that they need to sell to raise funds. That is the only thing I can think of where they might be looking to sell to raise that 125%. Other than that, I don't think they need to sell in terms of wages or anything like that. I just think they need to start raising the 125%.
Maybe it's just a case of Dai Young went down to the cash point and found that his local branch, you know, that the cash machine was broken. It ran out of cash. I mean, it happens to us all. But no, in all seriousness, good to see at least some stability on the financial front, even if, yeah, we are still waiting on some of the other requirements we've made. So look, no embargo, as far as we know. Touch wood, and hopefully we won't get one in the next, just over 24 hours now till the window closes tomorrow at 11 p.m. Let's talk about the exciting side of things then, gents. James, potential incomings. I'm going to start with one of the names that's been brought up in the past 48 hours, a very familiar name, of course, to Reading fans, and even a motor linked with a potential loan return from Cardiff. Any legs in this one?
Well, I saw today from the Cardiff end that he has been made available. So there's something in it that side. As far as I'm aware, I've not heard anything on it in Reading side. Not quite sure why. I don't think midfield is top of the priorities list at the minute, but I certainly wouldn't say no. Hutchinson, again, is another one you can't rely on to play 50 games a season. He knows the club, he knows the area. So, yeah, you know, a loan deal tends to work pretty quick compared to any permanent deal. So it's not one I could see. I wouldn't say it's particularly close, but I don't think it's out of the question.
Andy, what are your feelings? You know, sometimes people say, you know, never go back. I mean, we've just seen with Shane Long. Bless him, tried very hard last year, but it didn't work out. Obviously, Brian McDermott, lots of other returns that haven't panned out. Could, though, with a new division, slightly lower standards, you know, and a bit of distance and time between his spells, could Andy Rinomota, rediscover that form that saw him player of the season?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to see him back. On a personal note, I think he's a really good player. I know it didn't work out for him at Cardiff last season, but there's a fantastic player in there. We've seen that at Championship level. I have fond memories of, you know, him alongside Josh Laurent in the midfield. I think they formed a fantastic pair. The thing is, with Rinomota, I think if he's being made available for loan, I don't know, I feel like there would be Championship teams that would be interested in taking him, so maybe there'd be some competition. But from his side, maybe he'd be happy to come back to Reading. You know, like James touched on, he knows the area, he knows the club really well. So, yeah, I think it'd be a fantastic addition. Yeah, maybe midfield's not the priority now, but like James said with Hutchinson, you can't rely on him to play 50 games a season. You'll be lucky if you get 25 out of him. So with Rinomota coming in, I think that would be such a strong addition to make the squad really strong.
Yeah, I'd like to see what him and Savage could do as a pair in the midfield. And I'd say the likes of Hutchinson, Elliot and Wing as well, all sort of buzzing around as well, being able to rotate in and out depending on game situations and matchups, I think is something that I wouldn't be opposed to at all. Again, it's just a case of, are the terms right? Does the player want to come back? And is that desire still there? But, I mean, James, what positions do you get the sense that Ruben Selles is really interested in as we go into these last 24 hours of certainly the main window anyway?
Yeah, he made perfectly clear on Tuesday evening that a forward, and that was before Andy Carroll had gone. It wouldn't surprise me if they're after two forwards, which might be asking for a lot. And then the club have been after a defensive player. That's all I heard was defensive, which I can only presume is left back because we don't need another centre half and we've got a couple of right backs. So it's got to be a left back and two strikers and then maybe Rinomota if you can fit him in. But that's going to be one hell of a day if they do manage to pull all of that off.
Yeah, Andy, any names that have come up in either sort of formally or informally to you?
The one that's been floating around the last couple of days is Dom Ballard, a young striker from Southampton. He hasn't really got much senior experience, but, you know, you've got that Southampton link with Ruben Selles, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's watched him last season and knows quite a bit about him. I was just looking at his record earlier. He scored 6 goals in 3 Premier League 2 games, so he's obviously quite adept at that level. Whether he can make the step up to senior football, we'll see. But, you know, Ruben Selles has shown he's got a lot of faith in young players. So, and yeah, I think we do need another striker to bolster those options. And, you know, he could be a name that could come in tomorrow.
James, we, you know, as Andy mentioned, we've seen Ruben Selles bring through young players. I mean, our average age of our squad is, you know, and our starting lineup is one of the youngest we've ever seen as Reading fans and, you know, in the entire EFL at the moment. But is there that whole kind of feeling that actually maybe perhaps it's, especially with the likes of Carroll going, is there maybe that suggestion that actually, well, maybe you need a more experienced head? You know, we talked about Rinomota, but is there maybe an experienced striker to give the likes of Vickers, and Kelvin a chance to sort of learn off?
Yeah, that's definitely my opinion, is that we do need a couple more experienced heads. It's always, you know, one thing, you know, it's always splitting fans with, you know, do you need, you know, can't win anything with kids, but then, you know, the kids have been doing bloody well so far. But we definitely do need a sprinkling of experience, because so far the experienced ones just aren't stepping up. At least they're not on the pitch. You know, we don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but I presume, you know, they're guiding and teaching. But we need a few experienced heads to come in, and and, you know, start pulling their weight. You know, like Trevor Morley in the late 90s, that came in, he was sort of in his mid-30s, and, you know, he absolutely, you know, for a couple of seasons. Jan Kermagant was mid-30s when he first came in. You know, there's players that a lot of clubs are probably writing off as past it that could probably easily do a job in League One for the next couple of years. So, yeah, the emphasis is on the youth, but for me, you definitely need tomorrow, if you can, to bring in a couple of wiser, more experienced heads.
Are there any names you've been thinking about, if it's going to be a more senior player?
Yeah, well, the only name that springs out to me is Chris Martin. And after his last spell, I don't want him anywhere near us. But he's that type of, that kind of age, that kind of figure, just someone better than he was when he was with us last time.
Yeah, bless him. I think he was going through quite a few health struggles when he was with us. It's not exactly like we were in great form at the time either. So I'll prepare to give him a little bit of a hall pass on that one. But yeah, I mean, you bring up the experienced strikers, your Jason Roberts, your Jimmy Quinns. Mm-hmm. But then, unfortunately, you do get, you know, your Shane Long experiments mm-hmm. that don't go wrong. It's such a tricky one. And I guess Reading's margin of error with the finances, the way they are, is not really there. In terms of bringing in reinforcements. Again, I think worth pointing out to everybody as well that while the transfer window is closing at 11 o'clock tomorrow, you can still then make free transfers after that. So, you know, we have situations where clubs can cancel contracts and players can move on and things like that. So it's just loans and permanent signings that, you know, the Reading can't make after 11 o'clock tomorrow. But, I mean, Andy, anywhere else where you might see some movement other than maybe a left-back or a striker?
Yeah, other than that, I'm not really sure. I think those are the two priority areas. A left-back, I was discussing this the other day with Jimin, actually, about the left-back position. And it kind of appears that Tom McIntyre is going to be used in that role, I think. Maybe not from the start, but just as cover. You've got Yeardom as well, who can play on the left, not his natural position, but can certainly cover there. So whether they think they can get through the rest of the season with just those three options and maybe reintegrating Guinness Walker as well, I'm not sure. I would like to see another left-back come in. If you're looking for a senior option, that's going to be more difficult, I think. The same with striker. I think it'd be nice to bring two in, but I think it's more likely we're going to see a loan in that position. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see who might come through the door tomorrow.
Joel Pereira is another one as well. Obviously still on the scene. But I don't see that happening without Bouzanis going, which at the minute is looking highly unlikely. I think Pereira is one that you might end up cutting loose, which is a real pain really for Pereira, having spent basically the whole summer with us, for it to come down to the final day and for it to not happen. That's one to keep an eye on in case Bouzanis walks.
Is there the feeling that he would be the number two, though? Would he be coming in to be a number two, or would it be genuine competition for number one?
I think he's capable of being genuine. I mean, he's so hard to tell. He's played 68 games in a 9-year professional career, so there's never enough games to be able to judge a goalkeeper by. I presume in himself, he wouldn't want to come in to be a number two, but he's got to prove himself. Button's done absolutely nothing wrong, and Button, you know, at the minute is the number one. Boyce Clark, again, did nothing wrong on Tuesday. And proved that he was a capable understudy. The only thing I could think of is Bouzanis going, Boyce Clark then getting a loan, and then Pereira being on the bench. But that's a lot to happen in under 24 hours. So it's one that I think, you know, when Tim Deller put it, you know, on the radio and stuff, it did seem close then. But the longer it's gone on, I it's one I think that won't happen. But yeah, there's potential.
I think the key question as well that we're going to be asking, and I suppose this is more one for 24 hours time rather than today, but I've got to ask it now. I mean, on the if things go wrong tomorrow and nothing happens, with the squad as it is now, what would you say expectations would be through to January? Is it just a simple case of letting this team, you know, get their experience and, you know, keep themselves well out of trouble? Or would you be expecting them to be kicking on, to be in that position in January, where to make the additions to maybe make that playoff charge? Where, you know, what do you see the potential of this squad being if it was untouched over the next 24 hours?
I reckon there's no reason why we can't aim for top half, in and around the top half. Sort of that, come January, if you're within sort of five, 6 points of the playoffs, where, you know, in a good week, you can maybe make up enough ground to be on the edge of it. I think we've got the basis of a very, very good starting 11 when everybody's fit. How many times have we as Reading fans said when everybody's fit? It's never happened. But the youngsters are proving good enough to be able to plug gaps. There will come a point, maybe we're in it now, where they're going to hit a rocky patch. They're young and they're not going to be consistent all the time. But I think they're good enough to pick up wins against the teams that are in the lower half of the table. And, you know, if you can get to January, if you have your ducks in a row come January ready to make some moves early on, there's no reason why you couldn't push on. But I've been of the thinking that this season is literally just to stabilise and not have to look over our shoulder. And if we can win more than we lose and pick up a higher number of away wins, a couple of derby wins or a derby win against Oxford, you know, just have a nice season where nothing really happens. This is how long have we had a season where just come February, you can just chill and just know nothing's going to happen and start planning, because we haven't been able to plan for so many windows now. It's just been sort of scattergun, just who can we get in now to stead us, you know, put us through the next few months. This season could be the basis season to start planning the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, Andy, do you think as it stands, Ruben Selez has got enough at his disposal to kind of develop this squad? Or would it be, you know, do you see the potential of things going wrong if they don't get another body or two in the door?
I think he'd still like to get another one or two in. He made that quite clear after the Ipswich game. If he doesn't, I don't think it's a disaster. Like, he's shown he's got so much faith in these young players and they've stepped up and shown what they're capable of. You know, like James says, there are going to be rocky patches with these young players. They're not going to be consistent because, you know, no young player has consistency throughout a season. But, I think they're more than capable of pushing in into the top half and maybe even being within touching distance of the playoffs. If he can get another couple of senior additions in just to rotate, I think that would be fantastic. And they can maybe even push for the playoffs then. I don't think League One is quite as strong as it was last year. There's still some good teams in there. But from what I've seen so far, I think Reading are more than capable of pushing for playoffs.
And finally, before the two of you go, I mean, Transfer Deadline Day is a day that's, you know, become an event in itself over the last decade or so. It's one that football fans always look forward to. From a journalistic point of view, I mean, you two very much, you know, have your working hats on throughout, right up to 11 o'clock. I mean, James, how tough is it to sort of get to the bottom of these rumours and follow up and stuff when things are changing so quickly, especially with this current regime we have?
Well, yeah, as I say, it's nigh on impossible to get, yeah, kind of, hand over absolutely everything. The bit I'm dreading the most is having to try to keep a live blog going for well over 12 hours with very little going on. That's going to be the challenge, keeping things interesting and fresh, because you know what it's like on deadline day. So sort of, a lot of people seem to think that things happen every single 5 minutes, and you know, you get asked, you know, what's happening now. It's like, well, nothing's really happening now, kind of. It's all sort of planning on in the background. So, you know, and I've done 3 deadline days now and Reading have made 0 signings in all of them. So I wouldn't expect it to be a busy one with my track record.
Yeah, I mean, I think the height of transfer deadline day for Reading fans had to be Bushwatch with Jacob Southcline, bless him. I think it's peaked for us there. But Andy, I mean, what about you? What are the kind of challenges that you face on deadline days?
Yeah, kind of the same as James was touching on, really. It's difficult to find out information and, you know, find out whether some rumours are concrete or not. I was just thinking back, what was Puskás the deadline day signing, or was that mid-August? Yeah, I was thinking that summer was probably the busiest I'd seen from a journalistic standpoint. Whether there were any deadline day signings, I can't actually recall.
The best one was January 2017, when Reading had a game and then they signed Grabban, Much and Rhys Oxford all in the same evening. And then they beat Birmingham as well. That was a fun watch. But obviously that was with my fan hat on, which was amazing, rather than my working, oh God, I've got to cover all this hat.
Yeah, so maybe we're not expecting to be quite as busy as that. But yeah, it would be nice to see. I think realistically we will see one player come in, and that'll probably be a loan. Like we touched on, that they can be patient with the free agents, because, you know, that can still happen at any point in the season. But yeah, I would be slightly disappointed if one didn't come in tomorrow, just for depth. I think up front they would be a bit light if they didn't see another one come in. So yeah, I think expectations will be that at least one will come in tomorrow.
Yeah, I think fans always, we always just want a striker, don't we? We just always want, you know, that hope that we get that new golden boot up front, even when it was like Yakubu, which I think was one of the biggest transfers.
He did score one goal, didn't he? FA Cup.
A very important goal at Derby to get us through.
What about Kwesi Appiah? That was another deadline day one.
It was a blast from the past. Did he score in that game at Derby?
Yeah.
The last day?
Like 10 minutes, yeah.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Magnificent Seven. So when deadline day was in March, in 1998, and the late Tommy Byrne signed 7 players on one day, which I don't think we're going to see tomorrow. But look, hope springs eternal. Gents, thank you both so much for giving us your time here on the show. I'm going to talk to you both over the course of the season. We're going to mix and match and rotate here on the Podcast Extra. But James, get your plugs in. Where can people follow your work?
So just the Reading Chronicle website, you know, plenty of stuff on there. There'll be a live blog on there all day tomorrow. And then James _E 1871 is my Twitter handle as well. Hopefully a busy one, you know, but with Reading, you never know.
And Andy, get your plugs in, my friend.
Yeah, Reading Today website and Twitter @AndyPreston96. Try and keep you updated with anything or the lack of anything happening tomorrow.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@TheTarlhurstEnd
and facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd.
So a massive thank you to James and to Andy for joining us once again. Please check out their work on Deadline Day. Of course, TheTarlhurstEnd.com as well, where we will keep you up to date with all of the major moves and, of course, social media as well. @TheTarlhurstEnd on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it these days. Of course, this show would not be possible without our fantastic sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our exclusive Podcast Extra sponsor, which is footcoaching.com. EAFC is just around the corner. So if you want to get your skills up to scratch, play those last few weeks of FIFA 23, go to footcoaching.com. Plenty of packages available. These professional tools used by football clubs across the world, all of the latest skills. This is, you know, exactly the same as you'd be getting any other kind of coaching, whether it's something like golf or tennis or football. They drill down into your own strengths and weaknesses and come up with plans for you to improve your game. So if you're fed up with getting bad results, if you find yourself spending lots of money on FIFA points, why not check out footcoaching.com and see what they can do for you? And of course, Tarlhurst End podcast listeners do get a discount if you use that code TTE. Right, as for us, I'm going to ride off into the sunset. The plan is to have another Podcast Extra at some point next week. But of course, Ross and Ben are churning out some fantastic content over on the main podcast feed. Please go and check them out. And of course, all of the great content we've been posting over on thetarlhurstend.com. Hope everyone has a great deadline day. I hope everything goes well for everybody this weekend. And of course, to 3 points, hopefully, as we are the big Monday night football at Cambridge on Monday. So look, hopefully we can put on a bit of a show and get that elusive league away win in front of the Sky TV cameras. Until then, one thing left for me to say, come on you Ars.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.